I'm excited this morning to introduce a very special lady in mine and my wife's life. 14 years ago, I think it was, I was youth pastoring down in Eugene, and I had this card that of this girl that wanted to help out with the youth group. And so I met with her on campus down there in Eugene and had this great conversation with her, brought her on, said, hey, come see how you like it. I might scare you away, and that's cool, you know, because I'm a little bit of a freak. But she came, and I realized she's just as crazy, if not crazier, than me. And she became a huge part of our youth group down in Eugene, so much so that when we left up to Newburgh, when a job opening opened in the office in Newburgh, we were like, this would be perfect for Beth. We should get Beth up here. And so we talked to the pastor. We ended up bringing Beth from Eugene to Newburgh to hang out with us and to be a part of the church there and a part of our youth ministry. And so again, she became a part of my youth team and faithfully did that and faithfully served the church in all different ways. And then remembering back from when we were in Eugene, she had this passion for Ireland. And along the way in this process, about 6 years after meeting her, about 8 years ago, the opportunity came for her to become a Foursquare missionary and to head off to Ireland. And many people go, you know, when you think of missionaries, we think of Africa, and we think of, you know, all these different places, and you're like, Ireland? Really? But you know what? Ireland needs Jesus very badly too, right? And so she took up this call to head off by herself to Ireland, and I think actually in the process ended up taking a few people with her as she went. But she headed all the way across the seas to this place in Ireland. And what's interesting, you know, is I love just Beth's heart, because it's all about serving God and doing what He's called you to do. And it's one of those things I've talked about, and I've mentioned this with myself and some of the other missionaries that we've had here, that sometimes you go with this idea of what it's going to look like and how the Lord completely changes it along the way. And God has done that. I'm sure she might share a little bit of that in her story here. But Beth is just an amazing woman who faithfully loves God and is over there in Ireland, serving the people of Ireland, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and doing an amazing job. And so she was back here visiting, trying to kind of re-raise some support after a time. You know, you got people that support you, but over time people have to drop out. And so she's back here working around trying to raise support. And I said, hey, when are you back? I want you to come and speak at our church. And because we are a church that cares about missions, that cares about the people, and we want to give you an opportunity to share with us. And so will you welcome Beth as she comes to share with us this morning.
I was going to give you a hug, but dang.
All right, there we go.
Well, that was fun. Okay. I am so excited to be here. I don't know, but I love this family so much, and they have done amazing work in my life, and I am just so excited that you guys get to have them here. And I'm not used to these things. But yeah, so thank you for welcoming me, for just letting me share with you my passion. I'm so excited to share that I might get distracted and just get off on a story and way away from my notes, and so just sorry, I guess. But but I hope what God is doing in Ireland, I hope you'll see that. Actually, it was Stacy, probably, I don't know, 10 years ago, that I was walking with her one day. I think we were pushing Toby in a cart, in a trolley or a stroller. Sorry. Sometimes I'm like, what is it that they say here? Because I always get the Irish words confused. But anyways, as we were pushing Toby and going for a walk, and I just kept going, in Ireland, da 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 da, in Ireland, da 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 da, and I just kept saying, in Ireland, this is what they do, and I love Ireland, and this is really cool, and this is in Ireland. And she goes, why don't you just go to Ireland? And I was like, can I do that? I don't know. And then it just started on the journey of just seeking God and going, where do you want me? Do you want me there? How do I get there? What doors are open? And God just has done an amazing work for the last 8 years, just opening my mind to how He just wants to use His people wherever they're at, in whatever circumstances, with whatever gifts that He's given them. So that's what I get to share with you today. So you can put up, there's a map I have of Ireland. That's a cool picture. This is Ireland. I for the first 7 years, lived in Cork City. And when I say Ireland, maybe you guys could shout out, what is like the first thing that comes to the top of your head? Shamrocks, yeah. Leprechauns. Celtic Christianity. The Loch Ness? That's in Scotland. But they have like those types of fairy tales or myths and legends as well.
Beer.
Beer. Yeah. That is true. The IRA? Yeah, definitely. Ireland for a long time has had a lot of controversy between England and the Irish, and a lot of people think that Ireland is still part of the United Kingdom or Great Britain, but actually just the part that says Northern Ireland, that's the only part that's part of the United Kingdom. The rest of it is its own republic. So I live in the Republic of Ireland, where there's 85% Catholic and only 6% Protestant, Evangelical, Pentecostal churches. The rest are either Muslim, Buddhist, or no religion at all. You want to go to the next slide? I recently moved to a little place called Killarney. It's like the typical Irish town. You know, you see the beautiful hills and the mountains and the lakes and, you know, the wee little cottages. That's what Killarney looks like. Cork City is a very large city. It's about 220,000, whereas Killarney is about, they say 10,000, but that's an Irish 10,000, which means that they exaggerate a lot. So it's probably more like 5,000. I've also kind of adapted that trait of exaggeration, so I will try to keep my statistics pretty solid. So, but Killarney is beautiful. I have a team of people that I work with, and we opened a gift shop, bookshop. We first opened in Cork City, and then we've just recently moved to Killarney, and I moved there to manage the shop full time. Could you go to the next slide? Yes, Unbound is what our bookshop is called. We opened a bookshop because, as I was saying, there was a lot of history with England and Ireland, and some people like have heard of the IRA, where they were fighting for freedom against the English. But a lot of that has to do centered around religion. So the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church, basically, or the Church of England, Anglican Church, they were fighting about who gets to do what and who gets to worship the way they want to worship. And over the centuries of fighting, there's been a lot of atrocities on both sides. Lots of people have done wrong things in the name of God on both sides. So that's left Ireland in a way that they just don't care about God anymore. It's actually a research company said that Ireland is the second fastest growing secular nation in Europe. They're losing their faith. They have no interest in God at all. Church is a big, old, stone, empty building, and they don't want to go inside it anymore. So losing that faith in God has also broken their identity. It used to be said that to be Irish is to be Catholic. If you were considered Pentecostal or Protestant, then that didn't mean that you were an Irish person. You were English or American. You are not Irish. So if you want to call yourself a good Irishman, you have to be Catholic. And when that identity or nationality is all wrapped together in religion, and then religion hurts you, then you don't know what to believe. And the God that you thought that you were worshiping is no longer trustworthy. No longer, there's no hope left. And so Ireland's facing that kind of identity crisis right now, and has been for a long time. And it's actually, in Europe, I was verifying statistics last night, Ireland has the highest suicide rate for females 19 and under, and the second highest suicide rate for males 19 and under in all of Europe. And Cork, where we first started our bookshop, has the highest suicide rate in all of the country. So there's a lot of broken people, a lot of just lost hope. a lot of people who just don't trust. For the last 8 years, I have been working with a team of people that we've developed, I guess, a business as missions project. That's a new thing that's going around in missions that I just learned about. But I've been doing it for 8 years. And I started with me and another girl from Newburgh that worked with Darren and Stacy. Her name's Lindsay. And then also an Irish couple from, well, the guy, Padraig, he's from Cork County. And Evan is from Northern Ireland. So he was raised Catholic. She was raised Protestant. They fell in love, got married, and now they're a mixed marriage. So they had a heart to go back to Cork and to reach their people for God in any way they could. And they really dreamed about putting in a cafe, bookshop, kind of place where people could gather, where they could meet God in a casual setting, where they could ask questions but also get resources. So we started Unbound. And we got the name Unbound from the passage Isaiah 61, and I think I have that up, yeah, where it says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release the darkness for the prisoners." And as we were praying about how we wanted to facilitate this bookshop, gift shop, we really felt like this was the message we wanted to share with people, that you were no longer bound by depression. You're no longer bound by the things that you've acquired in your life, that you're trying to fill that void or that hole. You have freedom in Christ, that you're unbound. So we prayed about this, and we knew this is the message that we wanted to share in any way we could. How do we share it? What do we do? So the shop has taken on many different forms over the 8 years. I originally started out actually working with a Foursquare church in Cork City with their youth group and only working part-time with this shop. And as things started to change and evolve, God was calling me to business. And I don't do business. I got a degree in psychology, and I was going to, you know, sit and talk to people all day. I started working in a church and then fell in love with doing youth ministry, so I was just going to be a youth pastor my whole life. And then all of a sudden, God took my heart and goes, "No, you're going to be a businesswoman." I don't know anything about business. I'm terrible with math. I am horrible with accounting. I don't know anything about that. But God started to change my heart and showed me ways that I could be used on the high street. I could be used in a shop front, sitting behind a till, greeting people as they came in, and looking for a gift, looking for something nice. And I could share the gospel that way. And so he started opening my eyes on how to do that. And we also, as a bookshop, we're the only Christian bookshop outside of Dublin. There's only one in Dublin, and then it's us for the rest of the country. There's 1 million people in Dublin, so that bookshop in Dublin kind of has a big job. There's 3 million outside of Dublin in the rest of the country. And so we decided we wanted to connect with churches. We wanted to support churches and bring resources to them, because it's very hard to get Christian resources in Ireland. I don't know if you know exactly where it is on the map, but it's a tiny little island off the coast of a kind of little island off the coast of Europe. So to get stuff to us, it costs a lot. And there's no Christian publishing companies. There's no Christian, manufacturers. So really, we were trying to invest in American companies to bring stuff over, UK companies and things like that. But we're it. There's nobody else. So we thought we would connect with churches. And connecting with churches is kind of hard. I love that you guys have a heart for this community, and that you spread out and you support other churches in the community, because that's what God wants. He wants that unity. And in Ireland, there's some churches that are doing that are willing to, but a lot of churches, they're so small. The average size of a church is about 30 to 40 people. A mega church is about 400 people. There's just not a lot of people in a non-Catholic church. Catholic churches are fairly big. Still, there's a good number that would go to them. But for the most part, a non-Catholic, evangelical, Pentecostal, Protestant church is about this size. And this would actually be a very large church. And so really, there's just not a lot of resources. There's not a lot of help. And so we thought, okay, that's something we can do. We connect churches together. We can see how we can help them. But then we kind of got a little flack for that, because we might be helping a Catholic church or a charismatic group. And we might be helping a Church of Ireland and a Baptist. But the Baptists don't like the Church of Ireland. And they think Foursquare is a cult. And they don't like this. And so you're just trying to constantly break down walls. But over the last 8 years, we've seen amazing growth. And we actually got a network of leaders that meet at our shop and pray together that are all part of the local church community from different backgrounds that will actually pray for the city and for the shop. So we've seen amazing growth. But we realized soon after that we actually were only reaching 6% of the population. So in a country that's got 85% Catholic, and you're only reaching the 6% Protestant, how do you do that? How do you go out of what your comfort zone is and reach out to people who really just need to hear the gospel? So we felt that it was time to go deeper. I can't remember what the next slide is, but do you mind putting it up? Oh, yeah. So Luke 5, 1 through 11 is kind of where I want to settle this morning. And the big part is chapter 4, if we could really just understand this. Jesus is speaking to Simon Peter. He says, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. And that resonated in our hearts. But I want to go back up a little ways and actually read the whole passage. So Luke 5, verse 1 through 11. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, I think, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. When we read this passage as a team, we realized that God was calling us out to the deeper water. He was calling us not to stay in the shallow end of 6% Protestant population and only reach them. He was calling us to the 85% Catholic population that needed to know about God's transformational power. And so we prayed a lot about doing this. It was about 5 years into our ministry, and we were going, Lord, we are tired. We've been doing everything that we can think of. We're out of options. We're not sure what else we can do. How are we supposed to reach the Catholics, you know? And we were like these fishermen sitting on the shore. We were exhausted. We had been out all night. We didn't want to go back out. Our arms were limp. We couldn't keep going. But we said, okay, God, we trust you, we hear you, we're going to obey you. So we just started turning things around. Our shop at first was very traditional Christian bookshop, where you had tons of Bibles and tons of books and CDs and, you know, everything you could think of that just said the word Jesus. That's what we had. And when you walked into the shop, people would come in and they'd look around. They might, like, literally open the door, look, and then walk back out. Because they're going, this is a holy shop, and I'm not interested in the holy shop. So we started thinking, what can we do? How do we change this around? How do we turn it around so people would feel more invited to come in? So we We moved gifts up to the front. So it just looks like a normal little gift shop that might have cute things in the window, and it might have like a nice little, I don't know, gift bag for a man or a gift bag for a girl, or, you know, just things that anybody would want to buy, a nice gift for somebody. We started looking at more locally made products, Irish-made gifts, supporting local artists, and then we started to think we could make some things. So we started making soaps and lip balms and moisturizer for men and just anything we do. And what we would do with the stuff we made, we put a label on it that said, "You are loved," and then John 3:16. So it was a little like subliminal message there. But we felt like that was a way of spreading the gospel, spreading a seed. And as we continued to open our doors like that, people started coming in, and they kind of would step into the shop, and they look around, and they just say, "Oh, it's beautiful. I love this shop. It's so nice." And then they're like, "What's different? There's something different about this place. It just feels so peaceful. I just want to stay here all day." And then they would move to the back of the store, and they would look, and they'd be like, "Oh, there's some Bibles there. That's interesting." And then they're like looking at the books, and they're going, "Crazy Love. What's that about?" Or, you know, something by Joyce Meyer. Or, you know, they're looking at these typical Christian books, and they're going, "What's all this about?" And they come up to the front, and they're like, "So Unbound, what does that mean?" And it's like, "Oh, well, that just means that we have freedom in Christ. We're a Christian bookshop." And it just engaged people to start having faith conversations that they may never have ever had before. So that started to kind of go, "Whoa, maybe this is working. Maybe we're starting to catch these fish," you know. So we started to trust God in that we were doing the right thing. And we got some flack from people still. We still had some people who said, "You're not selling enough Bibles. You need to put Bibles in the front window." And we said, "Well, you know what? This is what we think God has told us to do. So we're going to keep doing it." And in 1 year, in our old mentality, our old way of thinking, we sold 500 Bibles. That's pretty good. This last year, with the new change to the shop, we've sold over 2,000 Bibles. And the majority, I know, right? It's really exciting. Majority of that are with people that we're engaging with who are going, "I've never had a Bible before. I want a Bible for the first time." And we're going, "Well, do you know how to read the Bible?" And we start thinking, maybe we should start giving away How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth, just so that they know what they're reading. And we're actually looking into resources so that we can give away a book for every person who buys a Bible for the first time, which is really exciting. I'm going to take a break right now, and I'm going to show you a video just of the shop and some of the people we're connected with, some of the churches that we've also done some ministry with. So if you wanted to look at that. So that's my field. That's my team. And I miss them, but they're praying for you guys this morning, just to let you know. So we realized that we needed to do something different. We needed to change things around to reach that 85%, to dig deeper. And we realized that it was working, or at least God was working. When the other day, it was probably around Christmas time, a man walked into our shop. He was from a small village outside of Cork City, and he took the train from his village straight into Cork City, got off the train, walked down the street, turned the corner, and into our shop. And when he walked in, he was a little agitated and definitely nervous and kind of looking around the shop and just kind of not really looking at anything, but just looking. And he goes to the back to where all the Bibles are. We've created like a little lounge area, so all the books and Bibles are along the walls, and then we've set up like comfy seats and tables and stuff where if somebody wants to sit all day and read the Bible, we are glad to let them, and we serve them a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and let them sit or chat with them or pray with them, however, whatever they want to do. They're welcome to sit there. And so he was back there, and there's these little stones that we have that are like, they call them faith stones, and they have scripture on one side, Jeremiah 29:11, and the other side, I know the plans I have for you. And so he has this stone in his hand, and he's turning it over, and Ivan, one of the shop owners, walks up back and says, "Can I help you with anything?" And he's like, "I need to know what's going on. I need to figure this out. I don't understand." And she's like, "Well, you know, maybe you could take some time and sit and maybe explain to me what you're talking about." And he goes, "I needed to find you today. I needed to be here. I was looking for you. I needed to find you." And she's like, "Okay, maybe you could explain. Would you like a cup of tea? you could sit down and explain to me what you're talking about. So she went, got him a cup of tea, they sat down, and he started to tell her this story. The day before, in his little small town, it's a very tiny town, and like most towns in Cork or in Ireland, there's not a lot to do. And Ireland has been hit hard with the recession. And so a lot of people are really desperate and really lonely. And he said that his neighbor had committed murder-suicide. He stabbed his wife, stabbed his oldest daughter, and then turned around and killed himself. His wife died. His oldest daughter had come running out of the house, and he heard the commotion, so he went, this neighbor went over to the house, and the daughter just fell into his arms and collapsed outside on the street. And he was telling the story, and he was so agitated. He said, I looked into her eyes, and she was so scared and so lonely, and I didn't know what to do or what to say, so I just looked up into the heavens, and I was just like, God, what do I do? And he said at that moment, peace just rushed over him. He was filled with love, and he looked into her eyes, and he said, it's going to be okay. You're going to live. God loves you. He's like, I've never said that before. I don't know anything about this. I went to Mass, and I heard about this stuff, but I didn't know anything about this. He's like, what is this? And so Ivan just sat and talked with him and showed him some scripture and prayed with him. And he's like, God loves us so much. I need to go and tell people how much God loves us. And he just kept saying that over again. He went from agitated and scared and totally, completely lost to just feeling like he understood, like he knew more than anything how much God wanted to love him and to share that with other people. So we gave him a Bible, and we gave him the little stone that he was holding, and we said, please come back in and let us know how you're doing. The daughter, she survived. They had a youngest daughter that actually was at his house at the time that didn't get hurt. So he took them in and was taking care of them for a while. And so that was just around Christmas. He hasn't come back in yet, but we still pray for him. We still believe that God is doing something in his life and that is going to connect him. There's some really good churches in Cork and in Cove, and we're hoping that he'll be connected with them. So, but these little stories happen all the time. People come into the shop all the time like this, and we just sit there and get to engage. It's just, hi, how are you today? What can I do for you? And sometimes people just say, oh, nothing, I'm fine, and then walk out. But a lot of times we just get to chat with people. And our team really realized that we went from being a holy shop to a shop filled of love, a shop of peace, a shop where we were engaging our community in the marketplace, on the high street, where nobody else was trying to go. There's another story of a woman who, she walked into the shop, and Michael, who was holding the lamb in the picture, he was in the shop that day. And we laugh at Michael because he's, like, besides Patrick, he's kind of the only other guy. And he's kind of like, I work in a girly shop. There's, like, all these, like, flowers and hearts and frilly things, and it's just, it's too girly. Like, we need more man stuff. And so we try to find man stuff for him, but that's kind of hard sometimes. And you know what? Like, it's women that shop, right? Like, they go and find all the pretty stuff, and they might buy something for their husbands or boyfriends, but really, they're looking for stuff for themselves. So he was in the shop one day, and there was this woman that came in, and she just was looking around at stuff, and he goes, can I help you with anything? And she's like, no, I'm fine. He goes, well, I'm going to go make myself a cup of tea. Would you like a cup of tea? And she's like, no. And in Ireland, people like to be very hospitable, and so you always offer a cup of tea. But they also don't want to be imposing, so they always say no. And you have to, like, offer the tea 3 times before they'll say yes. Because they really do want it, it's just they don't want to be imposing. So, would you like a cup of tea? No, I'm grand. Are you sure now? I can get you a cup of tea. No, it's fine. Don't bother. Don't trouble yourself. Are you sure? All right, go on. I'll have a cup of tea. And it's seriously 3 times, always. So if you are asked 3 times, if you come and visit and you're asked 3 times, don't be offended. If you really don't want it, you can still say no. But, you know. But it is kind of funny because I was telling Stacy there's this, like, show that was kind of mocking that. I kind of aspect of the culture. And so there's this saying where they're all, go on, go on, go on, go on. You will, you will, you will, you will. And the people say that all the time. So she finally says, yes, I'll have a cup of tea. And so they're just standing at the counter. And that day, the shop was very, very slow. And nobody was kind of coming in. And she's drinking her cup of tea. And they're chatting a little bit. And finally, she just goes, you know, I just discharged myself from the hospital. And he said, oh, really? Are you feeling okay? And he goes, no. She said, I was diagnosed with cancer, and they told me I needed to start chemotherapy treatments, but I'm too scared, and I don't want to. So I just left the hospital, and I came straight here. And I didn't even know you were here. And he said, well, I'm glad that you came. And he goes, you know, we are a Christian shop, and if this is too forward, then please don't be offended. But I really believe that God loves you and wants you to know that. So can I pray for you? And she just looked at him and was like, okay, that's fine. So he grabbed her hands and he just prayed a simple prayer of, you know, Lord, just touch this woman. We believe that you can heal her and we know that you love her. So just show her how much you love her. And she just started bawling just right there in the middle of the shop. And Irish people like to be, they like to keep their feelings inside. They don't want to be a burden, and they don't want to just unleash anything that they might be bottling up. So they try to be very private and keep everything inside. But she just started bawling that day. And just, like, she fell to pieces, and he just kept praying. And then she kind of cleaned herself up and, you know, was all right again. And he looked, and she had been looking at some of these little things that he hates, these, like, metal hearts that just hang. He's like, what is this for? I don't understand. And he went and grabbed this heart, and he goes, you know what? I saw you looking at this earlier, and I want to give it to you. I want you to hang it somewhere where you look at it every day and you realize how much God loves you. Think of it as God's heart for you, and he loves you. And so she took it, and she said, thank you so much. I'll come back in. I'll let you know how things are going. And she left. And she hasn't come back in yet, or at least I'm not sure. I need to ask Michael. But again, it's just planting seeds and engaging with the culture in a way that they never thought could happen, you know? I really think that we have to be called to what God is calling us to. We have to be willing to trust him and obey him even when it doesn't make sense. There's a lot of times that I feel completely incapable and insignificant, and I'm like, God, what are you doing with me here in this place? But it's all about reaching that one person. It's not about filling the seats. It's about reaching out and just smiling to the one person, to meeting them where they're at. It takes a lot of time to do that, and it takes some messiness, and it takes being able just to sit with somebody and not, like, go, why can't you get this? Jesus loves you. But just to say, you know what? God loves you. I'm just going to be constant in that, you know? There's times when we plant seeds, like the stories I've told you, and we don't know what happens necessarily. But then there's times when people come back to us and they find us again. We've been in Cork City for 8 years now. We've been in Killarney for 2 years now. And we get people that come into the shop all the time and say, hey, do you remember me? There was a man, I was in Killarney actually just the week before I left. And this man, he used to come into our shop in Cork City every single day. And he used to come and get a cup of tea and just sit. And we had secondhand books that maybe he might look through, but, like, he just sit. And sometimes we didn't, like, for a long time we didn't know his name, so we just called him the cup of tea guy, but everybody knew who it was. And over the years, like, every day of just coming in, getting a cup of tea, reading a secondhand book, and then leaving again, never buying, he came into the Cork shop, or the Killarney shop, sorry, a week before I left, and he goes, hey, Beth, do you remember me? And I was like, yeah. And I wanted to call him the cup of tea guy, but I didn't. I was like, Liam, right? And he goes, yeah, you remember me. And I was like, yeah. He goes, I knew you moved down here, I heard, and I just wanted to come say hi. And I was like, hi, you know, wow. And we had the longest conversation that I ever had with him the previous 8 years that he came in every day for a cup of tea. And he told me about what he was doing in his life, and he just talked about, you know, where he was at, and we talked about the Bible and God and how he was learning about it, but was still not sure, but, you know, thanks for your opinion, you know. But that took 8 years where he would just come in, head down, can I get a cup of tea, and then, like, read a book and then leave. And just constantly saying, yeah, sure, no problem. It took 8 years for him to actually find me in a different city and go, hey, do you remember me? I really appreciate what you did when you lived in Cork. And I was just like, I was touched by that. But I have one more story, if you don't mind. There was this young couple about the same time that I first moved to Cork. Their names were Margaret and Anthony, and they were newly married. Margaret was from Arkansas. Anthony was a local boy from Cork. And they were newly married, just moved back to Cork City, and they would come into the cafe. When we had a little bit of a cafe attached, now we kind of just serve coffee and that's it. But they would come and sit, and they would plan their life together, and you could tell they were really excited. And they were really cute, but they weren't really interested in God. They both had come from very difficult backgrounds, and they were looking for anything but Christianity. And so they were into New Age and Eastern religion and anything really other than Christianity. But they would come into the shop, and they'd talk to us a little bit, and they would say, you know, it's nice that what you're doing, and it's nice here, but we're not interested, and that was that. And then over the years, they kind of started not coming in as much together. And then they ended up having a little girl named Lola. And their relationship started to kind of fall apart, and it started getting difficult for them. Just being a married couple, she wasn't really integrating into the Irish culture very well. His family didn't accept her. It just got really hard. And so she decided that she was going to take Lola and move back to Arkansas with her family, and they were going to try separation for a little bit. So while she was in Arkansas, she had a faith experience, and she came back to the Lord, and she really felt like God was calling her back to Ireland, back to Cork, and to try and reignite what they'd lost with their marriage. So she came back, and she walked straight into our shop, and she said, not sure if you remember me. And I was like, oh, I do. I totally remember you. And she's like, well, I'm just back from Arkansas, and I've just rededicated my life, but I just want to tell you how much you guys were so important to us, just accepting us as a couple, and just always being there for Lola. We had little, like, play groups sometimes that we would set up so that moms could sit and have a cup of tea, and then the kids could play. And she's like, you guys just let us come, and you didn't care what we believed, and you just let our kids play together. And it was just so nice that she's like, I'm looking for that Christian community again, and I don't know very many churches, and I know I need to get plugged in right away, so I just want to know if, can I volunteer in your shop? And I said, sure, you know, I forgot to say, but we're 100% volunteer. Everybody that's in the shop are all missionaries. Nobody gets paid. The money that is in the shop goes into the community. So we were like, yeah, come on, we need the help. That'd be great. And so she just started volunteering once a week, and we called it Theology Sessions 101 with Beth, because every week she'd come in and she'd be like, so what is this whole thing about, like, the end times? Could you explain it? And I'm like, okay, sure, let me take 3 hours to study first. But no, and she's really like, she'd come in all the time and just be like, could you tell me about what missions is all about? Could you tell me about, and she was not asking simple questions. She just dived deep right into everything. And we would have great, great conversations. And we would sometimes talk a little bit about her marriage, but not a whole lot. And over the last couple years, God has restored her relationship with her husband. He plugged them into a church. He's become a Christian now, and he's helping and serving in the bookshop and also on the farm, working with Potter and Ivan and stuff, helping with the farm, because a lot of the farm stuff that we raise actually feeds the volunteers that help us. So it's kind of our little way of paying them. So God has completely restored that relationship and completely just, in a way, used us to just help facilitate that. And we are humbled to do that. And they've become a very important part of our team and our group. And it's just been amazing to see how God changes relationships. When Jesus got into that boat with Simon Peter, and when he called the other boats over and they started filling and filling and filling, that was an amazing miracle. And sometimes when we read about the ministry of what Jesus is doing, we focus on the miracles, you know, the feeding of the 5,000 and how he raised Lazarus from the dead. And we put a lot of emphasis on these miracles, which are amazing. And they give us faith and they help us believe that it's possible that something like that could happen in our own life. But the point is not the miracle. It's not about feeding a boat or filling a boat until it sinks. That's just the opener. That's just to grab your attention and say, look, this is a powerful God, and this God wants to change lives. And I have learned over this last 8 years that God has done amazing miracles, and he has provided amazingly. And there's a million more stories I could tell you about the lives that he's changed and the lives he's, and how he's changed my life. But the biggest thing is that it's always about the individual, that God really, he cares for you and for what you can do in the community around you. Whether you're a missionary or a pastor or an accountant or a fisherman or a farmer, God has a deeper, more amazing connection he wants to make with you and how that will overflow into the people around you. So if I can challenge you, if I can just say one thing, just look for the deeper. Look how you can engage more with what God is doing in your community, in your church, in your life. And just thank you for letting me just share my passion with you and to be able to be here with you today. So.
I love just her story and just her willingness to go into deeper waters. And it's that reality of how the Lord will challenge us and take us out of our comfort zone. You know, her story here, going into business, you know, taking someone in that capacity. My story, someone who never wanted to be a senior pastor, scared to death of that, stepping out into that deeper water, and how in the midst of those kind of things, you find the greatest joy. I love what I do. She's loving what she does. When we step out and do what God calls us to do, we realize that, hey, this is pretty cool after all. And it's all about loving God and loving people to extend his kingdom. It's as simple as that. We make it complicated. God's called us to be the church, to get outside the walls, because it's not just in Ireland where people don't come in the doors. There are many, I forget the statistics, it's 60% of, I think, people in America will never walk in the doors of a church. That means we got to get outside these walls and be the church to those around us. And it's in our workplaces, it's in our neighborhoods, it's in our schools, it's where God places us. Us learning how to love him and love people in the way that he loves people, to see his kingdom extended. And so thank you, Beth, for just sharing what an amazing story of what God's doing and through your life. Let me just pray real quick, and then we're going to wrap things up here. I'm going to let the worship team come forward as I pray. Lord, I just thank you for this morning and just this opportunity, Lord, to hear Beth share of what she's doing thousands and thousands of miles away on the other side of the world, Lord, how she's just doing what we're all called to do, love you, love people, and see your kingdom extended. And Lord, just the simplicity of it. Lord, we are the ones that complicate it. We think, oh, we got to do this and that and all this to share the gospel. No, we just got to love you and let your love shine through us as we love others, Lord. We don't have to put it in their face, Lord. We just have to show it, Lord, in a way that people keep coming back. I think of these stories of these people that keep coming back to this shop, Lord. It's because they experienced peace. They experienced something in that place that they didn't even know at the time what it was, but it kept bringing them back. And when we learn to love people in that way, you'll keep bringing them back, Lord, to give us those opportunities to speak into their lives, to encourage them and help them become who you desire them to be, Lord. So help us, Lord, to be missionaries right where we're at, Lord. Missionaries in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our schools, wherever we're at, in the grocery store, the gas station. Lord, just loving people and letting your light shine through us, Lord. We thank you for these things, and we just pray them in Jesus' name. Amen.